Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning. We are going through the ministries of Jesus Christ as continuation of in the Matthew's Gospel, continue in chapter 12 from verses 1 to 8. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions all ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. This scripture spoken, and it was in the time of Jesus, went through, and it is an incident took place in his lifetime in the earth. Help us to understand the scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, Jesus and his disciples went through the grain field. One of the incidents happened when the Pharisees and scribes of the leaders of Judaic people are always looking to find fault with Jesus Christ. They first of all did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus was the Son of God, but they did not search the Torah or the scriptures or the prophets just to understand who he is. If they knew he was the creator of the world who incarnated in flesh, they would have had a different opinion. At the time Jesus went through grain fields on the Sabbath, his disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of the grain. See, the green heads of the grain, before it get mature, they say you can pick them and squish in your hand and take the husk off, and you can eat them. It's normal to people to do. Now, the Old Testament law says if you go through one's vineyard or a fig tree area, you can eat if there is fruits, but you cannot take them home. This was allowed in the Old Testament, but this was on a Sabbath day. The Pharisees saw this. They said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful." So Jesus explained that, "Haven't you heard what David did when he and his companions were hungry?" In the book of 1 Kings, you can read, David was running away from Saul, the king who was after his life. As David had gathered enough people who were also, many of them didn't have many worthy or property or wealth or anything, and they were debtors, some of them under debt, they were running away, they were looking for a leader also his family members, his the people who believed in him, that God has appointed him as the king of Israel. So David, as he was hungry with his companions, they're running. They entered a run into the temple of God, where there were the shewbread, which was kept for every daily basis. And only the priests were allowed to eat that. Now, the law was created for a purpose. Even David, when we read that part, we see that if you, at the time, Old Testament law, you were away from their wives or women, they have no relationship for some time, 3 days or so. It was the commandment of God that they are allowed to eat the bread. So David did eat because they were away from their wives and they had no relationship for 3 days. So it was allowed, the law is created not to punish people, but to have the protection of the covenant of God, even when the law is there. The second example Jesus told them, or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? On the Sabbath day they desecrate that day in the temple, but they are innocent. See that God has given a law, but at the same time there was a leniency to the law. So if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy. See, God, according to his covenant law, he desired mercy, not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. See, here the most important thing, the man, the one who created the law or made the law, was God himself. Here is the Son of Man, whom Jesus called himself, being born as the human child. He was called himself as the Son of Man. It was the name he taken, as he taken the human birth. Jesus was not a human child in reality. He is like a human. His appearance is human. He lived among us in the time of among the Jewish and also the Gentiles. But he looked like human. He had the figure, the shape, and the features of a human, but inside of him, he was Son of God. He was God incarnated in flesh. The people if they had the revelation of God, that God revealed them that he is his Son Christ. So how Jesus became the Son? How God send his Son? Because God exists in three forms. One, the Father, the creator of the universe, is through his word which become flesh. The creator of the universe himself is Christ, and he is the Son, the Christ of God. The Christ of God is the Christ who lived in him. And he was the one who was doing all things for Yahweh, who was God. So in a sense, God himself, Yahweh, Jehovah himself, was a form of Christ, because Christ comes out of him. Christ is the same essence of God the Father. So he appeared to us in the form of human. The same time, the Jehovah existed as the Spirit God, and the Spirit, Jesus Christ in him, is converted or transformed into taken human birth. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are three in one. And this was a mystery. This was a difficult subject for every Judaic theologians, even the Christian theologians today, that no one can really understand and explain the relationship, well, the existence of how God exists in three forms. In the triune unity, the unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one God. In the Old Testament time, in the Old Testament, God revealed himself as one. And it was for the purpose that God, your Lord God, is one. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, there, the Lord God, your God, is one. And in that one God existed three forms. It was not completely revealed to them in the Old Testament time. So you have to identify God as a one God. The nations of the world, they believed in many gods. But this is an identification of the God of the universe, who was the God of the Jewish people or Israel, as one God, not many gods. But this one God has three forms as he revealed to us. This one God has his eternal God Son, who incarnated in flesh in order for delivering us from the sin. And that one God is Christ. And his name is Jesus, because Jesus means the one who delivers us from the sins. Jesus means Messiah. Jesus means salvation from Jehovah. It is Jehoshua. In the Old Testament time, there was a Joshua whose actual name was Jehoshua, means Jehovah will save. And his other name is Yeshua, and Yeshua is Jesus, also is the same name. So the name make people angry when they hear the name Jesus. To them, it's somebody who is mesmerized to people, who was faking, who has learned some magics and created the miracles. No, that is not what the scripture speaks about Yeshua or Jesus. The scripture says when the Messiah comes, he will do miracles that no one has ever done from the beginning of times. He will heal the sick. He will cast out the demons. He will deliver people from the bondage of the devil. He has the power over Satan. He has the power to raise dead. He has the power to open the eyes of the blind. He has the power to make the deaf hear, which is what Jesus has done. The one who does the ministry of Messiah is the Messiah. It is that how the Jewish people were to identify the Messiah, who he will be. He is like a Moses of the Old Testament. He is similar that Moses did great miracles in God's name and God's power. Same Jesus will do miracles and wonders in the name of God. And he had been directly coming from God when Moses was a human, barely a human, with the anointed power of God. God gave him the power to do the great miracles in Egypt and lead the people to salvation from the bondage of, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And the same way, Christ Jesus have the power. He is not human, even though he came to be human presence, human shape and human figure, human flesh, but he was God, different than Moses. Moses, a human body, human spirit, he worked miracles in the name of God, but God appointed him, anointed him. Jesus came as the Son of God in the spirit. He took his incarnation and he has his human body and flesh. See, if you had known these words, which is mercy, okay, which you great mercy of God, God is all about mercy. I tell you that a greater than the temple is here. You see, if you knew who is greater, is the temple or the God who comes in the temple. See, God doesn't live in temples, man-made temples. But in the Old Testament, there was a place called the Holiest of Holy, and where there was a huge curtain, very heavy, need many people once it put down and fold it and take it, lift it up. It was made with a special thread, and it has been very, very heavy. And that curtain separated the holy place from the most holy place, or the holiest of holy. And God's presence comes in the holiest of holy, or the most holy place, and there is the Ark of the Covenant. On the Ark of the Covenant, there are two cherubims sitting face to face, touching, almost touching their wings spread out, and the middle of that is the mercy seat. This is the mercy seat where God's Shekinah glory comes down. It's the presence of God when the people outside in the altar worshiping and praising, and even those Old Testament time, the women were not allowed to enter the temple. They stayed in the altar. And there was a courtyard where the Gentiles who believed in the Yahweh or the God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jehovah God, they stood outside. They lived and stayed in the courtyard. But even the women couldn't enter the temple. This is why it was the Old Testament law is completely, the worship of God was totally, totally different, because that holiest of holy where that God's presence come. Now, the New Testament changed the whole thing. God opened that curtain. At the Jesus death time, there was an earthquake, the rock split, some of the saints of Old Testament, their tombs broke open. The rock split, the Golgotha mountain shaked, and there was darkness in the whole world land. And there for 3 hours, Jesus handed over his spirit to the Father. And then there was this curtain of the holiest of holy, separating the holy and the most holy, was split from top to bottom. And there was this violent storm, violent earthquake. And they who were in the temple or nearby, then they figured. And they definitely, the priests, they went into the temple after they have seen this curtain was split. There is the place that God opened the door through Jesus Christ, that everyone can enter into the presence of God. Through the blood of Christ, that holiest of holy existed, and in that mercy seat, the priest once a year enter, and where he sprinkled the blood with the covenant of blood, which is the forgiveness of sin, animal's blood. When Jesus died, that animal blood, not animal blood, but Jesus' blood. The blood of Christ forgives our sin. See, Jesus said, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I tell you, the one greater than the temple is here, one greater than the temple, one greater than the grain fields, one greater than anyone, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. See, sometimes these days, we are from the 17th century, one man invented a religion from Christianity, combining Judaism, is called another name, and they worship seventh on the Saturday because it was the Sabbath day. But Jesus saying, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. In the Sabbath day, you were not allowed to do anything, no work. You only can walk a certain distance. Then the rabbis changed all the definitions about Sabbath. They said, you can do certain things, you cannot do certain things. You know, there are different things it says in different books, different interpretation. But in the book of Colossians in the New Testament, Apostle Paul's revelation of the scripture, it says that Jesus Christ, through him, he reconciled us to Father, through God, through the blood shed on the cross. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in the sight without blemish and free from accusation. That we were, well, supposed to be under the curse, under the punishment. Amen. So there are freedom from human regulations. In the book of Colossians, there was a church in the Asia Minor called Colossae. And in that church, the Apostle Paul planted, and he was writing a letter to them called Colossians Epistle. Freedom from human regulations through life with Christ. Once you are life with Christ, all the human regulations of the Old Testament will pass away. Because he fulfilled the Old Testament covenants and laws. So then it says in verse 6, chapter 2, Colossians. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So if there is one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than to Christ. You see, the seventh-day worship from Old Testament, which is changed to the worship of Christ through Christ to Father and the day when he resurrected. The Christ is the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. See, don't men will confuse you about circumcision, because the circumcision was a covenant between Abraham and God, and that law has been became ineffective, because when Christ came, the salvation is only by believing in Jesus Christ, not by any physical circumcision, having been her buried with him in baptism. So you believe in Jesus Christ, you have a baptism in the water immersed, where your sins are died, you're dying with Christ, as you are buried with Christ, as you immersed in the water, and then your faith, by faith, you are rising from water by believing in faith that one day you will rise with Christ in resurrection, as the resurrection happened. If you die, otherwise you will be transformed. In faith, right, do not anyone confuse you with this, the laws of circumcision or the days, regulations, Sabbaths, drinks, or religious festival, new moon celebration, or Sabbath day. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, I just read. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, a new moon celebration or Sabbath day. These are the shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. If you find Christ in reality, it's a reality. It was Christ, was a mystery in the Old Testament time. That's why the Jewish people did not recognize him, one of the reasons. But they were given all the signs that who will be the Christ, who will be Christ, and what will he do. If you see he does the work of Christ, that is Christ, no question about it. But the matter of faith, if you don't believe in God, you cannot be believing in God. See, believing is that faith by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The faith comes by believing, that not seeing things which you haven't even seen. That's how Abraham believed God. If you have the children of Abraham, that you should have the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted up to him righteousness. He was justified by faith. He was not justified by work. He was not justified by circumcision, even though that was a covenant and on Old Testament time. But that was not the salvation method. The salvation is not by sacrifices and offerings, even though sacrifices and offerings called upon, saying that one whole person will come and he will do the same death sacrifice. And the animal sacrifice was a symbolical, hoping the future, the Messiah's sacrifice will happen. By that, we will be saved. So God forgiven their sins because they believed in the future Messiah. They believed, Adam and Eve believed in the future Messiah after the sin. After David and all the forefathers and patriarchs, they believed in the future coming of Messiah and his sacrifice. So they symbolically conducted the Passover. With that Passover lamb was also real symbolical of the Jesus Christ who will die, who is the Messiah. And in the coming days, I will be discussing the Passover lamb who was typifying, it was a type of Christ who died, and when that Christ will come and die on the same night of the Passover, who will definitely is the Messiah. So there is no doubt about it. There is all the references, all the proof are available in the Bible, in the scripture, in the Old Testament, in the Torah and the prophets, which is New Testament has a complete fulfillment of it, that where Jesus died and rose for us. We discuss this again in the name of Jesus. Thank you for listening. Believe in the birth and death and resurrection. Jesus died for your sins. You will be saved from eternal damnation. May the Lord richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast. And if you have any more questions, or if you'd like to contact me and talk more about this subject, my email address is P like Peter, R like Robert, chackovlikevictor@gmail.com. That is pr.chackov@gmail.com.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.